all together.
For you are God. You are God. And Lord,
Ancient of Days.
Ancient of Days.
You reign, Lord.
For you are God, O Lord. You are God,
Elohim.
Elohim. Ancient of days. Reign.
Yes, Lord, and there is none like you, Lord.
Mostly, reign in us, in this physical temple that you have elected and chosen. Reign in the supremacy of your power, reign in the supremacy of your loving kindness and tender mercies, reign. Reign in our lives, reign in our marriages, reign, O God, in our church, in our relationships. Reign, O God, in every realm. Impact our communities, our city, our nation. Reign, O God, in the lives of your sons and your daughters. Lord, O God, those that may be sick, sentenced by the words of men to death, reign and grand restoration of life. We stand, O God, in the authority of your word. And we declare this day that you are Lord, supreme, sovereign, over all things, over men, over women, over principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness. Reign, supreme Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my sovereign Lord, I call it done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother James, do me a favor. In the back room, there is a notebook. It's like a camel collar, fairly thick. As soon as you come through the door, it will be on top of one of the curtains. Could you bring it for me, please? Praise God. I want to thank God for every one of you. You may be seated. I want to thank God for every one of us that have taken time to come, share, and hear the Word of God together tonight. We've been studying through the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and we are now in the 17th verse. We're just about to wrap up this chapter. But one of the things that we looked at, starting from verse 13, I'm not going to spend time dwelling on that much. It says, wherefore take unto you. I want us to be reminded of that particular statement, take. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. It says, you take it. God is not going to take it for you. He has provided it, but you need to do your part. And the part that you and I need to do is to take it. What has been provided, take. He says, take the whole armor of God. Not part of it, but the whole armor of God. The thing is that many times the saints may take a part of the word of God and not all of it. And then we wonder what happened. Why did we get hurt in battle? Well, the admonition of the Lord is to take the whole armor, all of it, the whole armor. Now, when we talk about the whole armor, we're not just only talking about the fact that we should take all of it, but the Word of God is saying to us here, when it says whole, He's saying that this armor is perfect. This armor is perfect. It is complete. There is no deficiency in it. It is a complete armor. It's a perfect armor. It can withstand whatever is thrown at it. He says, when you take the wholeness of that armor, the perfection of that armor, meaning that you've got to believe that this armor is going to work. It's going to fully protect you. And when you believe that, you don't try to find alternative armors. He says, take the whole armor of God that he may be able to withstand in the evil day. The word there is the word poneros. Remember, the word poneros basically talks about a hurtful day. Raise it, let me see. No, it's a thick book, notebook. A notebook, camel collar. Thank you. Take the whole armor of God that he may be able to withstand, resist, withstand. That is a key word. The word, the Greek word, is the word antihistami. And this word here is a word that is telling us that we are given the grace to resist by the armor of God. So when the word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, it's not saying resist the devil in your own strength and your own ability. It's saying resist the devil having been fully clothed with the whole armor of God. You have to have the whole armor of God to resist the devil. Praise the Lord. You're not going to resist the devil in your strength and your ability and think you're going to win. He will whoop you. He's been around and he's dealt with bigger and greater people than you. So don't be arrogant when you're dealing with the enemy. The word of God already says, take unto you, take it to yourself, the whole armor of God, so you're able to resist in that poneros day. The poneros day, that evil day, is a day that we describe very aptly. It's a day of calamity, but it has a particular aspect to it. It's a day of labors, a day of striving, a day of annoyances. Have you ever been in such a day where it seems like everything seems to be annoying you? Raise it, let me see. I think you got it right. Okay. Thank you. I wasn't expecting to. I wasn't expecting to do this today, but this afternoon I was here dealing with some stuff, and I began to read this dream that I had that had three phases. I've mentioned it before. But it's related to what we're talking about here in just a moment. So the word of God says, take on the whole armor of God. You know the thing? When I read you this dream, it has three parts to it. So God interpreted it and interpreted it again to me. And I will never forget this dream. But this dream is way back on the 26th of May, 2002, Sunday morning. I'll read it and then continue. It says, I had a rather interesting dream today. In this dream, I found myself held back and held down. I saw this in my dream, looking down from the heavenlies. And that's important for us to note that everything God says for us to do, we are doing from the heavenly perspective. Amen? It says, looking down, I saw a dangerous serpent that looked like an albino. This serpent was moving around me, but was benign. It could not hurt me, but restrained my ability to succeed. All of a sudden, a laser beam was shot from the heavens by me. Anatbi. So I was in the heavenlies, but I was also in the earth, which is exactly the way we are. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but we are still here in Winnipeg or whatever it is that you may be listening to me. So I shot from the heavens this light, laser beam, pow, but I shot it at me. It says, when this happened, there was a major explosion. It seemed like a great volcanic eruption. But instead of lava, it was an eruption of fragmented flesh and body parts. This shot had hit me directly in the chest. At this time, I suppose that I had died. I had killed myself, basically. So I'm saying, oh my, I killed myself. He says, but then I saw myself rise, no longer held down and back by the serpent. Then the dream shifted to a heavenly interpretation, a heavenly perspective. I could see myself fully dressed in a golden type armor. Really shiny stuff. Behind me was the devil, dressed in black, but with a silver breastplate. And I can still see this armor that he had. It was really bright, shiny, black and silver, very smart looking breastplate and armor. It says the devil was using me as a cover, expecting that no harm could befall him without me getting hurt. He was taunting, expecting no harm. When the laser beam came from heaven, this from the heavenly perspective now, so I'm seeing that laser beam coming. When it came from heaven, from God, but seemed to me earlier that I had shot it. It looked like I was the one who shot it, but now I'm seeing that God shot it. It went through me and hit the devil, the serpent, and destroyed it. I was left unhurt, as the voice of interpretation let me know, because I was made up with the same material as the laser. A laser is a light, it's light. So God was saying, you are made out of the same material, you're light. So light just went through you and hit the darkness. You get it? My dream now shifted. So this is a dream that had three parts. We've seen the heavenly perspective, now I see the earthly perspective. My dream now shifted to an earthly perspective. I found myself in a sword duel with the enemy, the devil. As we fenced, I had a quickening to pierce him. This I did with a swift and skillful move. I pierced the enemy in the gut area, and with a quick maneuver, lopped off his head. When I lopped off the head, instead of blood, fire shot out of the enemy. He was defeated. I was now able to get ahead because I got ahead. The next happening was unexpected. It seemed that the beheaded enemy retrieved the lopped off head and threatened to come fight another day. I let him know without a doubt that he will be defeated anytime and every time. Then I noted the devil left Jesus for a season. We must defeat him every time he shows up to fight. Amen. This is spiritual warfare. You're in a battle, and you have to win it. And if you're going to win it, you've got to put on the whole armor of God and know that God is fighting with you and for you. In one level of that dream, I saw myself the one shooting. But when God gave me his perspective, he was the one shooting. But the end result was the devil was defeated all the time. He It didn't matter whether it was from the heavenly perspective or from the earthly perspective, he was defeated. And the thing is that the enemy that you defeat today may show up tomorrow to fight again. But whenever he shows up, you must be ready to win. Praise the Lord. So, the word of God goes on and tells us, stand therefore, verse 14. Having your loins girth about with truth. You must embrace truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about that last week. You have to have the breastplate of righteousness, the right to stand and understand that God gave it to you as a gift. It is not a result of your spirituality, it is a result of God's loving kindness and tender mercies. He's given to you righteousness. And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We spent much time talking about that last week. The preparation of the gospel of peace, preparing for the gospel of peace to be proclaimed, doing everything to set your mind on one primary thing, to see lives changed. That is part of what you dress with, whether it's in the giving of your time, the giving of your talents, the giving of your resources, the giving of your finances, the giving of whatever it is that God has given to you for the sole purpose of seeing lives transformed. Then it says, above all, take in the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. There is a wicked one that wants to destroy you. You cannot be nonchalant about it. You cannot be lazy about this. You've got to recognize there's a real enemy. And remember what we said, the real enemy is the devil. It's not people. The devil uses people. But you've got to go beyond the person to deal with the spirit that is using the person. So as I shared in my vision or dream, the enemy was hiding behind me. He's hiding there, thinking nothing's going to hit him. But God is greater than all of the trickery and the devices of the enemy. Whatever it was that God shot, hit the enemy and defeated the enemy. And the same thing is true with people. You've got to see beyond the person and recognize that there is no condemnation to the person, but that which is operating behind them, a God is attacking that sin and dismantling it. Amen? And then it says, and take the helmet. Take the helmet. Nobody's going to hand you the helmet. You got to take it. You got to take the helmet of salvation. Take it. And take the sword of the Spirit. Take the word of God, which is the word of God. Take it. This doesn't just happen automatically. You have to take it. Let's say that word, take. Say it again, take. What does it mean to take? Huh? You get on the train. If you take the train, you get in on the train, okay? So you get on something, all right? Okay. So what else do you think the word take means? What do you think? Well, it means simply to accept, to receive. The word is the word dekomai. Dekomai. Now, when you take something, you take it with your hand. When you want to receive something, you stretch your hand out to receive it. But that which you take, you have to take unto you. The word of God says, take unto you. Receive to yourself. Receive to your mind. Receive to your body. Pull it to yourself. I receive my healing. When I say I receive my healing, my motion should be, I receive my healing. I receive my healing. And there's no motion, there's nothing. There's nothing happening in your thinking, there's nothing happening in your talk. No, you take it. I take my healing. I take my salvation. And if you take it, it is yours. It belongs to you. It's in your hand. And if it's in your hand, it becomes that which God can use to counteract whatever the enemy is trying to accomplish. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the word of God. Embrace it. How do we do this? Praying always. Huh? Praying always. You know, many times we go through all of the armor and we forget about verse 18. Praying always. Praying without ceasing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All prayer, all supplication in the Spirit. Wow. Wow. What does that mean? In the Spirit. Spirit is the word pneuma. And what God is saying to us is that we have to be in faith, in the Spirit. And when we are in the Spirit, we are praying based on the Word of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught us. The words that I'm speaking to you, they are Spirit and they are life. So when we are praying in the Spirit, we are praying based on the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Praying always. Now, praying always doesn't necessarily mean here praying 24/7, but it's saying whenever it is that you pray, yeah, be certain that you're praying in the Spirit. Don't be spewing out some words because, oh, I have to pray, and you just are so casual. No, pray the Word of God. Be focused on what it is that you're praying about. One of these days, I'm going to spend time talking about prayer times in the Word of God. You know, the Bible talks about the ninth hour being the time of prayer. Now, when you go through the Word of God, you start to find out that there are very strategic times when God does particular things. There are things God does at 3 a.m. when there's a window at 3 a.m. that God is saying something. 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m., 12 a.m. Particular things that he does. And those particular times, it's like the office is open to deal with this kind of issue right now. Not that he won't deal with all other issues at other times, but do understand this. When we're talking about 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. and so on and so forth, well, we're not trying to build a dogmatic system based on particular times. Because how many of you know that 12 p.m. in Winnipeg is not 12 p.m. in Toronto? Yeah? But it is a system. For where you are, so I'm going to, one of these days, I'm going to just spend time talking about particular times when God is attentive to particular kinds of prayers, particular times when you can make particular supplications, and it's an open door. There's a portal at that particular time in your particular place where you can ask for certain things and you get certain results like that, quicker. Amen? I'm going to spend some time on that. But watch this. We are praying in the Spirit, in God's timing. We are praying God's word and watching thereunto, watching at that which you are praying about, watching thereunto with all perseverance. You're persevering about it. You are pounding that situation right on. And supplication for all saints. This is not just about you. It says now, for all saints. You are praying it. So you're praying, let's say, for example, there's a particular time when there's prayer for financial breakthroughs, okay? And you are before the Lord, crying out to the Lord for financial breakthroughs. God's word says, don't just be praying that prayer for yourself. Pray it for all saints. Many times when we pray, we are focused on ourselves and we don't remember anybody else. It's just about me. God, I want this, I want that. Are you praying the same thing for all of your brothers and your sisters? That is part of your armor, praying for other people, trusting God for them, for the breakthrough that they need. Amen? For example, when we were going to have our meetings, I think it was Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday, and that week, the weatherman said there was going to be very bad storm, which meant that people would not be able to come to church. We stood here and we said, not so. We don't agree with that report. We're moving this snow out of here. Get out of here. We're not going to have that kind of downpour. It threatened, just like they said, but we stood firm with the word of God, and we affected whatever it was that was happening with the weather. We moved it out of the way. The Lord had mentioned that it was going to be flooding. And I came to us and said, this is what the Lord said. We started praying about it. We moved it out of the way. Now, after that experience, there was going to be another rainstorm that was going to just mess up the city. We came together. We stood in agreement. And we moved it out of the way. Now, that does not mean that certain parts of the city, particular low points, didn't have water issues. I'm sure some places did. You know, I'm sure some of the bridges that have very low underpasses with all that water, you know, coming, you know, they will, you know, there'll be, you know, some pool of water. I saw some, you know, on Main Street here and stuff like that. But the nutshell is what the enemy wanted to do, he did not accomplish. We stopped it. Well, when we're praying, we're not just praying for ourselves, we prayed for our community. We prayed for our province. We prayed for other people that God will work them through this particular situation. And that's how we ought to pray. You pray for other people's healing. And by so doing, you protect yourself from the harm that the enemy may want to bring your way. So it says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Now that word supplication there, the best way I can explain it to you is to look at the word supplication as to a compound word. Supplication, supply, application. So when you make a supplication, you are supplying your application. What your plea, what you're looking for. You are coming to the service desk and you're saying, I need this and I need that and I need this and I need that. That's your supplication, and that supplication is granted. The thing about God's service desk is there are no back orders. God always has everything you need when you come and you present your application. Now, watch this. This is important. If it is a supply application, there must be an objective for what you are making that application for. Now, we just read supplication for all saints. So, if you want answered prayers, you've got to see yourself as a point of contact for somebody else's miracles also. Lord, I'm going through this particular situation, and I declare your word concerning this situation. I receive this miracle, not just for myself, but Lord, oh God, I pray and stand in agreement with my brothers and my sisters that may be going through similar situation, and I'm trusting you to meet their needs also, because you are meeting mine. You're not a respecter of persons. Since you're doing it for me, do it for my brothers and my sisters. Fellow saints that may be going through struggles right this very moment. Guess what? God is quick to respond to that, because you're not just thinking about yourself, you're thinking about other people also and believing God for their miracles. Amen? And then he says, watch this is important. And for me, he puts himself as last. And for me. What do you want us to pray about for you, Paul? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There's a mystery of the gospel. I want you to pray for me that I'm able to open my mouth boldly, not without confidence. As somebody who doesn't know, I want you to pray for me that when I open my mouth, I will speak confidently, like somebody who knows what he's talking about, so that lives can be transformed. Pray for me to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let me be able to go into the Word of God and just peel it open, and people say, wow, I didn't see that before. Oh, that's amazing. Oh. So, what is your prayer for me? God, grant to our pastor a word that will just cause us to be wowed every time he opens his mouth. That will cause us to experience you in a supernatural way, because the mystery, hidden thoughts and truth from the Word of God is being unveiled every time he opens his mouth. God says,
are. Since you pray like that, you have the armor on. This is still part of the armor. You praying for me, I'm praying for other men and women of God. That God will use them mightily. That's part of it. He says, because this mystery of the gospel, he says, this is why I'm here. This is my purpose. This is my assignment. So to put it in a nutshell, when you pray for a man or woman of God, it is to say, God, you have an assignment for this man, for this woman. I pray, God, that that assignment, that mandate will be fulfilled speedily and efficiently. Because that man or woman of God may have the right word for you that will help you that week. How many times have people come, heard the word of the Lord, and they go to work, and whatever it is that was spoken on Sunday, they are using on Monday? Or you come into the house of God and you have issues, questions that you've been asking and don't have the answer for. And in the message, something is said and it just opens up everything. Ah, that's it. Somebody else may not think that's it because they are not there yet. But for you, you got the message. You got it. How did that happen? If you spend time praying for that man or woman of God that's going to be ministering the word of God, you're helping yourself. Because you're letting God use that man or that woman of God to speak to your personal situation. He says, for which I am an ambassador. I am an ambassador. A representative. The word is the word presbyo. Presbyo, interestingly, is a word for somebody that is elderly. You might say an elderly statesman. In a few days from now, I'm going to be 65, May 6th. And I guess they'll be calling me an elderly statesman. Well, that's what we're talking about here. I'm a representative. I'm a man of age. That's the word he used. It's quite interesting. You know, says I'm in bonds. And it's, you know, they're trying to limit me. He says, but in spite of that, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I'm not going to shy away. I'm going to speak boldly. Pray for me to be bold. What does that mean? It means that men and women of God can become afraid. Afraid to speak the truth. But he says, I want you to pray for me that I'm bold. Because I have the support of God's people. I have the support of God and I have the support of his people. And I can speak boldly and say what I need to say and not like my dad used to say, when I was talking to you right now, did I have water in my mouth? In other words, I was very clear, wasn't I? Yeah. Be clear. Don't beat around. You know, we're not here to be diplomatic about anything. Say what you mean. Say exactly what you mean. It says, I want to represent God righteously, properly. Pray for me that I do so. Please bear in mind that this is still part of the armor of God. That when the word of God is not spoken boldly and people don't know what the truth is, then you are always reacting to whatever it is that's happening in society. We've got to be very clear about what God is saying in his word and stand firm on it. And then it says, but that ye also may know my affairs. Pray so that you know what's happening with me and how I do. That is spiritually, but physically, I'm going to send to you one of my team members. His name is Tychicus, and Tychicus means faithful. Now when we talk about faithful, we're not talking about F-A-I-T-H, we're talking about F-A-T-E. Faith, as in destiny. So I'm going to send to you a person of destiny, a beloved brother who is also a faithful minister in the Lord. He's going to make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. What purpose? To remind you to be fully dressed with the whole armor of God. To remind you to pray for all saints. To remind you to pray for me. Amen? Now, would you say that Paul was part of praying for all saints, that Paul was a saint? Yeah, that's in a general perspective. And this is the idea. The idea is, pray generally, but before you end up praying, pray very specifically. Get to a real point. Don't just pray generally. Pray very specifically. That's why he says, pray for me. And get to the nitty-gritty of the matter. Get to know my affairs. Pray for me, but investigate. How are you doing, brother? Is everything well with you? How are your children? How is your family? How is your job situation? It's not about being nosy. It's about being a person who cares, who's connected. And in that connection, you will know some things by just interviewing, investigating. He says, but then there are those realms where you know simply by the Spirit of God. God will tell you something that man hasn't told you. And you begin to pray about particular things. I remember through the years we traveled, even though I was not here in church physically, God will speak to me about something happening with a brother or a sister, somebody. And sometimes I'll just pray about it, not bother them about it. And some other times I'll call and say, well, the Lord is saying this to me. What's going on? This is what I'm hearing from the Lord. I said, God told you that? I've not told anybody this. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going through right now. Well, you're seeing into the realm of the Spirit and standing with them. There was a time that I believe I prayed more for other people than I prayed for myself. In fact, there are times when people who knew me said, when are you going to start praying for yourself? You're always praying about other people's issues. Talking to God about them, you pray so strong for them. When are you going to pray strong prayers for yourself? It's okay. I'm covered. But God calls me to pray for other people. God calls you to pray for me. God calls me to pray for you. Amen? Be interested to know what's going on with me. I should be interested in knowing what is going on with you. I'm praying as best as I can to be of help and assistance to you. Whom I've sent unto you, Tychicus, he said, for the same purpose that he might know our affairs and that he might comfort your heart. I want him to come and comfort your heart. And finally, he begins to wrap up and he says, peace be to the brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't lose sight of this last segment, because you just, okay, he's wrapping up. No. Notice, peace be to the brethren and love with faith. Praying this, I want you to have peace and I want you to have love with faith. Why is that important? Because faith will not work without love. Faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. So you've got to have those three things: peace, faith, and love. Now, it gets interesting here. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us there abide three things: faith, hope, and love. Now we see here peace, faith, and love. So guess what hope is? When you have hope, you are at peace. See it? So he's telling us, hey, if you have hope, be at peace. Because hope is that space of time between when you heard the word of God and when it is manifested. This space between hearing the word of God, which is faith, and the manifestation of what God said, the space between those two, is hope. This space, therefore, is a space called peace. Because you are at peace with yourself. You are at peace with God. You are at peace with whatever it is that's happening. You're just at peace. You're not fretting. You're not worrying. You're not panicking. You're not in a state of confusion. You're just at peace, resting. Now, peace becomes the weapon of warfare. The word of God says in John 4, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall garrison your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, Philippians 4, shall stand as soldiers. Stand guard. And it will attack whatever it is that's trying to mess with you. And finally, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Insincerity. So who gets the grace, this enabling the charis of God? Those who love our Lord Jesus Christ sincerely. If you don't love God sincerely out of all of your heart, your mind, your soul, don't expect the grace. Grace comes to those who are in love with God, in love, sincerely in love. How do they prove that they are sincerely in love? The Lord says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your might. Love God completely. If God wants anything, you say, it's yours. I believe in you. I know you will never owe me. You are my helper. I trust you. When you're in that place, you're in a good place. That's part of your armor, the whole armor. Trusting God completely. Resting in his peace. Letting him bring you to the place of true fulfillment. And then the last word, amen. So let it be. Amen? So let it be. God, I love you with all sincerity. So let it be. I love the fellow brethren and pray for grace to abound towards them. So let it be. I am dressed fully armored with the whole armor of God. So let it be. I say amen to the word of God. And as I said last Wednesday, the shortcut of putting the whole armor of God is reminding yourself that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the gospel that we preach. Jesus is the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Jesus is the one who has granted us salvation. Jesus is the word of God that comes into our hearing and is the embodiment of faith. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, it is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, Jesus. So all of that, if every part of the armor is about Jesus, then the simple way of putting on the whole armor of God is to put on Christ, to be in Christ, clothed in Christ, because he's our righteousness, he's our salvation, he's our belt of truth, he is all of it. So, Father, I put on Christ. And by so doing, I've taken on the whole armor of God. And now I resist the devil. Concerning this particular matter, I see the enemy cut down. Concerning this matter, I see him defeated. Concerning this matter, I see this happening. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing it not just for me. You're doing it for fellow saints all around the world. Lord, oh God, they're experiencing a supernatural breakthrough in their lives. Victory is taking place in every aspect. They are victors and not victims. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that there is acceleration of grace and great favor and peace and strength and wisdom, Lord, oh God, not just for me, but for the entire body of Christ. You are building a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail over. So, Father, this day in Jesus' name, we kick down the gates of hell. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, that having kicked down the gates of hell, we receive, we take now and receive the keys of the kingdom. And that which we bind is bound, that which we loose is loose. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that by your Spirit I am accomplishing this purpose right now. You praying in the Spirit. That make it simple? You pray with your understanding and you pray in the Spirit. But you start with putting on Christ. And before that, two more things. The Word of God says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So when you come in before the Lord, you're always, when you're going to make those supplications and applications, so to speak, you're doing it with praise and worship. But this is fundamentally important. All spiritual warfare that you do, you must do from the heavenlies. That's where the battle is, in the heavenlies. That's where you win the battle. But do understand that the secondary place where the battle takes place is in your mind, in your thinking. This is where the enemy is going to attack you, in your thinking. So that's why you need to take the thoughts of God to bring destruction on the ways of the enemy. How do you do that? By the word of truth. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's what Jesus did. That's how you won. And that's how you and I are going to win. Amen? Praise God. Well, that is the book of Ephesians. We're done with that. And I'll tell you next week what our next book is going to be. Amen? Praise God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you for peace which passes all understanding. We rest, O God, in your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We are empowered to succeed. We declare this so done, even now, in our lives and the lives of your people, that we all enjoy the fruitfulness of the Spirit of truth and are empowered to succeed. Because your grace, O God, is sufficient in every area of our lives. We give you praise, Father. Thank you that we are thinking your thoughts, aligning our habits and our actions to the integrity of your word, and not buying into the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. Lord, strengthen your church. Strengthen your people. Grant grace. Grant peace. Grant loving kindness and tender mercies. Grant love and faith. We take on the full armor of God. And with this full armor that cannot be penetrated by the forces of darkness, we defeat the powers of darkness in every realm. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we decree it so now done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Honor God with that which is given to you. Trust him to continue to increase you and to prosper you. There is no way that we cannot give God. And as we trust him, he will show himself strong on our behalf. We have a few more days in this month, and I want you to be reminded of this particular truth, a word and a promise of God to us. April is our month of our celebration. I like the video that captures that idea.
to be played at this time. And we're going to say this together, and that'll be it for tonight. With me, April is my month of acceleration. Amen. Bless you. Have a great, great week. See you on Friday for our time of prayer. And I believe God will hear us when we pray the prayer of faith together. Amen. And please do continue to pray for my friend that is been ill, deadly sick, but God is a living God. We don't serve a dead God. We trust God to restore his health speedily, and I look forward to him standing behind here and telling us the great testimony of what God did for him. So keep on praying for him, okay? God bless you. Good night. Do I have anyone on Zoom? Is somebody? Oh, Pastor Choice, how are you? You are mute. Can you unmute yourself? Still can't hear you. Oh, well, anyway. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. I trust that something that you heard today was of great help. We'll see you Friday or whenever it is that we see you. Good night. Enjoy God's goodness. Bye-bye. Huh? Oh, you've not been here before? This is your first time? Wow, welcome. You are the one who called me? Yeah. That I was praying with? Yeah. Adam? Yeah. Adam and Sky? Yeah. Welcome here. Bless you. Bless you.
You.
Nice meeting you. Mike. Yes. Yeah, Bishop Mike. Nice meeting you. Do please keep on coming.
Yeah.
You keep on hearing the word of God and you'll be strengthened. Awesome. Bless you. Good to see you. Amen.